In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. So, good news, bad news. The good news is I couldn't find my sermon. The bad news is I found it eventually. Now, such is the erudition of our vestry members, all of them to a person, that I read at the bottom of one of their emails this past week this quotation from Nathaniel Hawthorne. "I begin to suspect that a man's bewilderment is the measure of his wisdom." Now, what a quotation for Trinity Sunday. "I suspect that a man's bewilderment is the measure of his wisdom." On Trinity Sunday 1992, from a small pulpit in a stone chapel, I read the following definition of cricket. "You have two sides, one out in the field and one in. Each man that's in the side that's in goes out, and when he's out, he comes in, and the next man goes in until he's out. When they are all out, the side that's out comes in, and the side that's been in goes out and tries to get those coming in out. Sometimes you get men still in and not out, and when both sides have been in and out, including the not outs, that's the end of the game." How's that? Now, you know the point, it's obvious, that the best way to understand this complicated game of cricket is not to write and to read and to repeat definitions about the game. The best way to understand is to get engaged, to play the game, to be involved. And I want to make today a special plea on Trinity Sunday that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit cause us not to understand the Trinity, but to experience the Trinity. It was the great Anselm who wrote in Latin, "Credo ut intelligam," I believe that I may understand. And Tertullian, the great church father of the third century, wrote about what he technically called economic Trinitarianism, which simply means when we see God at work, then we understand him best. That's why we entrusted to Peter Roos this morning those long, very long, long verses from Genesis, that we might behold afresh the Trinity at work. God as creator, the Son is the Word, and the Spirit is that cohesive force that brings beauty and diversity out of chaos. You see, the Trinity is not for the armchair theologian. It is not for the sunshine Christian. The Trinity calls us to be engaged, to participate in the life of God, right at the core of God's being. What an honor that this church community of over 300 years witness have year by year witnessed to the power and the invitation of the Trinity. Trinity Sunday celebrates diversity and inclusivity and says away with dull monochrome uniformity. The Trinity is the committee that has worked forever and will continue to work. And when we dare to give up all hope of being part of a committee, I mean, apart from vestries, of course, when we give up all hope of being part of a committee that will be harmonious and productive, the Holy Trinity says it is possible. Trinity Sunday celebrates this glorious truth that knowledge comes through experience and participation. Sometimes I fear that Christians and the church have embroiled themselves in the theological wastelands of debate because it's far more comfortable to do that than to cope with what is really simple and stark and obvious directives of Jesus. As you know, all too soon we say farewell to Peter Roos and family as Peter goes to take up direction of the Mark Twain house. So I quote Mark Twain today. "It ain't parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts of the Bible that I do understand that bother me." Look after that man, Peter. By the way, he also said, "Go to heaven for the climate, hell for the company." And he also said, sorry, "Sacred cows make the best hamburgers." But to go back to what was the relevant quotation, you get his point that sometimes we can just choose to think about theological debate because we don't want to confront what Jesus is telling us. And what I believe Jesus is telling us today is to forgive. Forgive and be forgiven. Just before the service, I snapped at somebody. Now, probably four or five people think I snapped at them, but I'm thinking of one person in particular. And I apologize. Because the thing to do is to keep short accounts with God. And the Trinity invites us to share in this divine, crucial work of forgiving and being forgiven. The damage that is done by unresolved resentment and grudge, the harm that is done by a stark and militant unwillingness to forgive is untold. You know, friends, it doesn't just affect our minds and our spirits. It will affect our physical health. Paul Tillich said, "Forgiveness is an answer, the divine answer to the question implied in our existence." This is how crucial forgiveness is. And today, you and I are invited with the Holy Spirit to do this primary vocational work of the Christian, to forgive and to be forgiven. The Father is the source of all forgiveness. The Son is the one who, by his suffering, has made forgiveness possible. And the Holy Spirit is the energy that gives us power to forgive. Just imagine what you and I and the Holy Spirit can do in this work of forgiveness. Our society cries out for it. Our families deserve it. C.S. Lewis wrote these words: "The most important difference between Christianity and all other religions is that in Christianity, God is not a static thing, not even a person, but a dynamic, pulsating activity, a life, almost a kind of drama." And then Lewis says, "Forgive me as not being irreverent if I suggest that the Trinity is like a kind of dance. The pattern of this three-personal life, the great fountain of energy and beauty spurting up from the very center of reality. There has been an eternal dance of love, occurring in the Trinity from the beginning of time and will always be in existence. And those whom we love but then die are taken up into this dance forever. Meanwhile, here on earth, we are called to share this dance with God. And so God asks you and me today, please, may I have this dance? Amen.